Welcome, I'm Bill Jasper with the New American Magazine, and I'm here in Coeur d'Alene at the Coeur d'Alene Resort with Tom DeWeese. He is the founder and president of the American Policy Center. I got that right, correct? Yeah. And we brought him here to, what was the topic that you were talking about tonight here?
Well, really it was two things. One, giving a lot of the background of the policies that we're facing today that are being implemented all over the country, and then what to do about it, how to fight back and begin to stop it.
And what particularly are those policies that you're focusing on?
Well, I kind of coined a term called freedom pod. The idea is to fight back on the local level, not try to influence Nancy Pelosi and so forth, but to fight back right there in your own community. And the most important thing is to build a permanent infrastructure from which to fight back, to do research, to do advocacy and so forth, to really be involved and be right there at every step of the way, not just waiting for something to happen, but be there all the time so that when new policies are implemented, you're ready to go and ready to fight on them. And that's the idea of building a freedom pod in your community.
Now, you've been in the forefront of fighting against the United Nations Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, sustainable development. And that's some of the things that you're talking about here tonight, right?
Well, yeah, that's all the policies that, you know, that's the background of everything that we're facing in every city, city council, county commission, state legislature. These are the policies that are being put in place. And Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, Green New Deal, Great Reset are all exactly the same plan, except that they get more detailed and more arrogant with them. And they've really revealed themselves now with the Great Reset. And they are very serious about moving forward and putting all this in place and destroying our economic system. Capitalism is a major target, so is private property, and getting control in our local communities and our local legislatures, or city councils and stuff. Those are where they are operating to put these in place, and that's where we have to be to stop them.
Now, tell our audience what are some of the ways in which this is being implemented at the local level.
By the NGOs and so forth. Yeah, a lot of people don't understand. They get a good person elected to city council, for example, and a few months later they start to find out he's voting for all this bad stuff and he won't talk to me anymore and so forth. What they don't understand is that there is this army of non-governmental organizations that are all imposing, or they're behind the agenda to put these things in place, the attacks on private property, all the development plans in the community, that suddenly you get all the high rises and all that kind of attacks on our energy use, that kind of thing. There are NGO organizations behind each one of those issues. They become experts on those issues, and they know exactly how to present it, and they know how to get grant money to put it in place, and they bring it to your local elected officials and say, hey, got it all right here for you, got it in a box, got it in money for you too. And eventually your elected representatives begin to believe this is the proper role of government. And so that is what how they're putting it in place. And meanwhile, if one of us finally shows up and tries to oppose it, these same NGO groups are whispering in their ear, the guy's nuts, don't pay attention to him. You know, we've got all the stuff for you, don't worry about it. And they know how to put the money in place and the power to elect these people that they want there. And if they don't toe the line, if the elected representatives don't toe the line, they know exactly how to get them out. And so they have a power structure, which we don't. And that's why I'm here, as I'm traveling the country and so forth, to talk with people and teach them how to build our own power structure so we can fight back against this.
Now, you mentioned the NGOs, and there are literally thousands, actually tens of thousands of these NGOs that are national or even global. And then we have the local ones, which are usually tied in with some of the national and global NGOs, usually funded by foundations, corporations, and by local, state, national, and even international governments. So what are some of the more prominent NGOs, and what kind of level of funding are we dealing with there for them?
Yeah, I've seen the figure that they've got about $46 billion kind of universally to work on this. I'm sure there's even more than that if they need it. You have, for example, the Environmental Grant Makers Association, and they've got billions in stashed away. And how they operate is if they need some kind of an organization to rise up to stop a project, for example, if maybe the city wants to expand the airport, the runways or something, and they don't want them to do that, they will suddenly discover that there's some kind of endangered species there, and they'll put $1 million out, and they'll create an NGO called, you know, Save the, you know, the rat or something, and they, that's how they do it, and so they end up with unlimited money, and you know, the World Wildlife Fund, the Nature Conservancy, Sierra Club, these are some of the ones, you know, involved in all that. And the local, on the local level, you have the American Planning Association that is in almost every single city that are helping to implement these plans. And they use all kinds of tactics to, as we've mentioned here already, to, you know, put these things in place.
Now, you have been very successful in the Midwest, where they're pushing this incredible carbon capture pipeline, carbon dioxide, where they're going to take carbon dioxide out of the air and pump it 1,000 miles or 1,300, 1,400 miles underground through massive pipe infrastructure. But you're throwing a monkey wrench into some of that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we have. I actually barnstormed Iowa as the first step in going after this. I have called this the most idiotic plan they have ever come up with. I've fought an awful lot of stupid environmental programs, but this is the dumbest, to take CO2 out of the air, which the plants need. And it's, CO2 is not a pollutant. It is not causing climate change, so forth. And so it's a totally bogus thing. And to take that and put it in a pipeline and bury it in the ground, we have a CO2 shortage that is growing, and plants are starving for CO2, and here they are taking it out of the air. And so we went there, and I went clear across the state, did 5 cities in 5 days, and I was really focusing right on the local county supervisors that have said correctly they're opposed to it, but they have kowtowed to appointed boards like the Iowa Utilities Board, which is appointed by politicians, created by politicians, but politicians saying, oh, golly gee, we can't do anything about this because the board says so. And I just called them on it, and I said, this is how you're representing your people who elected you. People elect people. People elect, you know, people to these city councils and so forth to protect their rights. And when they start to kowtow to the very ones taking the rights, then you got a problem. And they've been actually cowards in kowtowing to this. So I called them on it, and we've got a lot of people rising up in Iowa. And what's really helped there are the John Birch chapters. They're the spark plugs that are, you know, staying there and getting it done. And so we've made some progress with it.
So the objective there is the counties do have the power to at least stay or put a moratorium on or even outright stop the development from coming through their counties, correct?
Yes, and in fact, in South Dakota, one of the states that are affected by this pipeline, they have two counties have passed a moratorium on the pipeline. And another county in North Dakota has said that, one of the things they're using are easements to getting the farmers and the landowners who are in the path of this thing to sign an easement to voluntarily give up their property. And this one county in North Dakota said, unless you have 100% voluntary easements signed for this, you can't build it. And all it takes is a couple of roadblocks like that in a few counties where they can't go through, and they won't be able to build it. And what I have been advocating to them, to the county supervisors, is that if you have one or two, three, four, five counties that will put together kind of a freedom coalition in their board of supervisors and pledge that they will not allow this to take the private property of the people in the pathway of that, and they get legislation passed to do that, or a moratorium, as you said, then link arms with the other counties that do that, you have made an impenetrable wall that they can't get through. And you don't have to have all the counties. You could just have five or six of them, and it really causes a lot of stir. Yeah.
Very good. Well, you've been doing a fantastic job in the Midwest. Now you're out here in Western states. I know you're going all over the country. Really appreciate all you've been doing for many decades and continuing to do, Tom.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to work with you guys.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Alan Keyes. I'm the host of IMTV's daily talk show about news and events in America. And I want to say a good word for the New American Magazine. Not only because Alex Newman has joined us as somebody who is periodically hosting a show, but because New American Magazine represents a alternative media that is willing to tell people the truth. With so much fake news spreading about, and the fact that right now this country is in an existential crisis, we remember who we are and where we come from and what our principles are, or we die. Reading New American Magazine can keep you up to the minute on the issues that are challenging us as a people and on which that survival hangs. You can check it out and subscribe at www.thenewamerican.com.